And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business in one form or another. Each of my guests is discussing a segment of business, whether it's the soap opera business, investing, or the mafia. My next guest is a financial guru who will recap the third quarter of 2011 in the financial markets. We'll look ahead to the fourth and final quarter of 2011 to see what's in store for us financially. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. My regular listeners know Ken Winans for his insightful and profitable financial advice. Ken is a successful investment management entrepreneur, an award-winning author, and an active philanthropist and a renowned collector. He's the president of Winans International, an investment company and fund manager. He's a regular guest on various TV and radio shows, including the CBS affiliate KNX in Los Angeles. Ken is a business historian as well as a financial guru. Back in October of 2009, he became the senior portfolio manager for the Winans Long Short Fund, whose ticker symbol is ETFMX, and he has a bachelor's degree in economics at the University of San Diego, a master's degree in finance from the University of San Francisco. Joining us from the Bay Area, welcome back, Ken. How are you today?
Bill, believe it or not, I'm actually doing pretty good. It's helpful when you have lots of bonds and other income investments in an otherwise bear market. So that always seems to comfort the soul, so to speak.
Well, I'm glad that you're comforted, because a lot of listeners, and myself included, really took it in the shorts, no pun intended there, in the third quarter. It was the worst quarter for the stock market since the financial crisis ended. And even before that, the quarter two was also a down quarter. Mm-hmm. The Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ each lost more than 12% during the quarter. Yep. So give us the causes. What's behind this? I mean, is it Greece? Is it the banking sector? Is it uncertainty over taxes and regulation? What's causing this tumble that we're having in the stock market?
A lot of the issues that we've been really dealing with since the 2008 meltdown still exist today. And what I mean by that is real estate. The elephant in the room continues to be the housing market. I'm asked constantly, when are we going to see a general economic recovery? You've got to get housing squared away. And what I mean by that is not only that we have to find stability in the housing prices, but a huge number of the people unemployed are people who in some way, shape, or form made their living in construction, housing, mortgages. It is a big problem. And bubbles themselves, I mean, if we think of housing as one of the, and I think it will go down in history as one of the largest bubbles this nation's ever faced, they take years to heal. It would be like somebody who thinks they sprained their ankle, but they actually broke their ankle. Again, it's not going to heal the next day. It takes a while for things to heal. The good news is I've never seen a bear market yet that doesn't end. So that there is, you know, there can be some light at the end of the tunnel.
No, there's certainly that, and I like the fact that no down market ever ends. It always does come back, always a question of when. So, Ken, it's interesting. Real estate is something that is not well talked about at all. I mean, we get the Case-Shiller report every quarter that comes out, talks about housing and where the direction that housing is going in. And Case-Shiller's sort of been bouncing along the bottom, so it's led some analysts to believe that we've actually hit the bottom in the housing market. What's your take on that?
Well, two things to remember about Case-Shiller. First off, it's always 60 days late.
Right.
In other words, and there lies a problem, and it's actually kind of ironic that in a world where most people need to stare at their accounts each and every day, that we have this housing indicator that a lot of people turn to, and it always has this tremendous 60-day lag. So, and by the way, with my own research, I actually think we're going to find, at least what it pointed to me, is that the September numbers were not pretty for housing, and I think Case-Shiller will show that, you know, in 30 days from now.
Hmm.
But with that being said, bouncing along the bottom is not recovery. That implies there might be some stability, and that is in the winds of very strong government regulation trying to, you know, certainly the credits they've been giving people with mortgages, and certainly trying to help people stay out of foreclosure. And we all know about record low mortgage rates. So even with all that, you're trying to stabilize housing, but it's very weak, Bill. It would not take much for things to roll off a cliff. And what I mean by that is, again, California might be fine. Go out to Phoenix, go out to Las Vegas, go out to the Central Valley. You'll find there are serious problems still.
All right. My guest is Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. So the real estate market is the elephant in the room. Let's talk about some of the other markets that are bouncing around, have gotten a lot of notoriety, particularly the last 12 months. Gold. Gold was up to $1,607 at the end of business on Friday. That was up from when we started the quarter at $1,489. That's a $118 increase just over the third quarter. Oil, however, conversely, was down. It was down $17. It was $78 a barrel. At the end of business on Friday, and it started the quarter at $95 a barrel.
Yeah.
The U.S. dollar index, this is interesting. The U.S. dollar index shows that the dollar is getting stronger. It was at 78.55, and that's above the 74.35 that we started the quarter at, which means we're up 5.6% for the quarter. The dollar, in theory, is getting a little bit stronger there, and the volatility index, the VIX is what they call it there, that was tremendous. Even looking at it from not only the third quarter, but going all the way back to the second quarter, it started at about 17.7 in the second quarter. It has jumped up to 42.6, indicating that there's a great deal of volatility. What picture is this painting, Ken?
It's a bear market. It's an equity bear market. It's interesting you said about gold. A lot of people also have silver or the silver ETF in their portfolio. And my, oh my, has silver had a wild ride this quarter. It's been up and down, and it's 38% off of its high in March. So it's not all shimmers in all metals. Gold certainly, you know, knock on wood, year to date it's up 16% when I look at the ETF, but it is 13% off of its high. Certainly other commodities have fallen as well. It is interesting that it is very much an investment picker's market, meaning that can you find stocks that are up on the year? Can you find certainly commodities are up on the year? The answer is yes, you can. But this idea that you're going to buy an index and try to index your way through a bear market is hazardous. Bill, the other part that I think blindsided a lot of people, and I would say that it's one of the areas that I certainly have been a very harsh critic of a lot of my competitors on, a lot of people were told, regardless of their risk tolerance, regardless of their age, you must have money in the foreign markets. This strategy has been an unmitigated disaster. When I look at the 14 foreign markets that I track within their ETFs, the exchange-traded funds, I don't care what we're talking about, Canada. I don't care if you're talking about China. These markets have done worse than the U.S. market. And what's weird about this is with the dollar generally lower year-to-date than it was before. So I question that a lot of people are told that you can diversify your way out of a bear market by global diversification and never raise cash and expect that you're going to survive it. And if anybody has been sold this bill of goods by their advisor, I would fire that advisor. Clearly, this didn't work.
Harsh words. My guest is Ken Winans. Now, Ken, it seems to me that there's some clear things happening here. First of all, the strength of the dollar coming up 5.6% just in this past quarter alone. That is good. I agree with you that diversification on a worldwide basis is ludicrous. This is one big world market. I mean, the United States is just a cog in the machine, but we are talking about one big world market. So as the U.S. goes, as China goes, so goes the rest of the world. But I guess the interesting thing in all of your answer was the discussion about silver, because silver not only is an intrinsic store of value like gold is, but silver is also a commodity that gets used a lot in manufacturing. And silver is used oftentimes as a proxy for how is our manufacturing doing on a worldwide basis. This volatility and now the flatlining that silver is doing, what does that tell us about worldwide manufacturing if you look at it from that perspective?
If you look at any of the industrial metals, and you mentioned silver, you could talk about copper, you can talk about anything that's used, or aluminum, anything that is used in manufacturing, there's a concern right now that the world economy is going to slow down. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to roll into a double-dip recession, but it does mean that any idea of accelerated growth that a lot of people were talking about earlier this year is just simply not happening. And there's certainly spots of growth, but all in all, not. But Bill, the bigger issue with the metals, and when people, it's interesting, a lot of people have jumped into, and they're treating gold and silver as core holdings. And I'm always interested to find out that they have never done that before. They really don't understand the mechanisms in which commodities trade. And what I mean by that is when silver suddenly fell out of bed earlier this year, many people didn't understand, well, there were changes in the margin requirements, and they said, what are those? You don't jump into a game until you understand the rules, And many people paid dearly for that.
Yeah, sound advice. My guest is Ken Winans. Ken, let's talk about externalities, because we've had a lot of them in 2011. Just going back to the second quarter and comparing the externalities to the third quarter of this year. By externalities, I mean forces that are acting on the economy outside of business itself. Mm-hmm. In the second quarter, we had Egypt, Libya, Japan with the earthquake and the tsunami, and Greece were all weighing heavily on our minds. The third quarter, however, all that was left was Greece. And we've seen this picture before, because we were worried about Greece in the second quarter of this year. We were also worried about Greece a year ago.
Absolutely.
Nothing seems to have changed on the Greek front at all, even though the Greek parliament has passed austerity measures back in the second quarter of this year. The fears about Greece seem to be weighing down the market. So are we out of the woods with the Greek debt crisis, or will we be facing this same problem 12 months from now?
I think you're going to have variations of it going on for a long time. Remember, it's interesting because I've had a lot of reporters ask me questions about why are we so worried about Greece? It's not Greece by itself. It's that this could be a trigger for problems in Italy, which, by the way, is a huge economy in Europe and a large trading partner of the United States, continuing problems in Spain, which is another large economy in Europe. It can be that trigger mechanism for foreboding problems going well into next year. It's also interesting, too, that the things that you're not hearing about in the news. And remember, I was in Greece last June. I was speaking at a conference back there. And it was interesting to hear what the Europeans' take on this was, such as Greece has a very, very large military. Europe has concerns about large militaries with countries that are in economic crisis. That has not been good on a historical note for the Europeans. So there are those kind of concerns like that. But with that being said, the overwhelming issue is that can Greece cause the EU to break up? Could you have countries, certainly the Scandinavian countries, which are doing fine, or some of the Northern European countries saying, you know what, we've had enough of this. We're tired of taking on other people's problems, which could cause problems unto itself. So, no, we're not out of the woods yet on that, and it's another reason why our banks are having issues and why the banks are doing so bad. Don't forget, they have a lot of money in Europe.
Well, they do, and I want to come back maybe and talk about the banks if time permits, Ken. But let's talk about Greece breaking up the EU. Even if the Northern European countries, the Scandinavian countries, don't decide to retreat from the EU and Germany stays in the EU, the problem is that the EU has never, ever considered the possibility that one of its member countries would actually default and have to leave it. There is no procedure for doing this. And so everything that they're doing, if the Greece does decide to default, is going to be off script, and that is going to create chaos in the markets. What happens if Greece defaults and decides to leave the EU?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question. I think that there are probably people in Europe that would love to see Greece leave the EU and take its problems with it. Again, that's just looking at it strictly from the survivability of the EU. The other part of it would be, another elephant in the room as far as Europe's concerned, is that there's a huge number of their banks across all of Europe that have lent money to Europe, or certainly to Greece, to Spain, to Italy, to Portugal. They have lent it to these countries that are having these problems, certainly Ireland as well. And so they are undercapitalized now. So who's going to basically recapitalize their bank? They've been talking about a TARP in Europe to help stabilize things.
Mm-hmm.
Greece is going to be day-to-day, hour-to-hour, vote-to-vote. And certainly the issue right now is, can you continue to ask the Greek populace to accept the austerity measures that the Germans are imposing? The Germans are the primary player in this because they are by far one of the largest players in the EU. And at some point you could have this beginning to really backlash politically in Greece, but that is where the problems lie. Is how far can you go with this?
Very interesting. My guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. Ken, I want to weave a little politics into our discussion of business.
Uh-oh.
Because lately these two are inextricably linked at the hip. And I want to talk about the Wall Street protesters right now that are camping out in front of the Financial District in New York City. They've been there for the last 2 weeks. It's called Occupy Wall Street is the title for these protests. And just over the weekend, there were 700 arrests on Saturday alone of these protesters out in front of Wall Street. Now, the protesters, from what I can understand, they really lack a clear objective. Some of them are protesting corporate greed. Others are talking about social inequality. Some are talking and complaining about global climate warming. But is this just a way for college students who are looking to cut class and do something that their professors might consider a worthy project? Or Are these protests really a precursor in the United States to what happened in London with the rioting, what happened in Tahrir Square in Cairo, or what happened in Tiananmen Square in Beijing?
Well, great question. By the way, wasn't Spence in those riots over the weekend? I thought I saw a picture of him being carted away.
That was Tom Spence. My producer was there. He was in the midst of the fray, but he was not one of the 700 arrested.
We know he's such an anarchist at heart. I'm just kidding, of course. Isn't it interesting? I tell my wife this all the time. Everybody loves free markets on the way up. Everybody loves protectionism and socialism on the way down. It's just amazing. Even people who are ardent in their views do begin to back away. Well, maybe we do need to have government stimulus, and maybe we do need to have this and all that. You can't have it both ways. You can't. Look at Europe. Europe's a prime example. They have bought into socialism for a very, very long time. Clearly, they have problems, and they cannot blame it all on the United States. They have their own set of issues. These people, to be quite frank, are very upset, and I understand. Bear markets are upsetting. Housing bear markets are upsetting. There's a lot of people who are financially mortally wounded by this. They probably will not recover. That's the hard fact of this stuff. At the same time, and also, you know, people are very upset about the TARP bailout. I know we've talked about it before. I firmly believe that if 2008 had not been an election year, I don't think TARP would have been handled the same way. I think that we would have allowed banks to go into bankruptcy and use Chapter 11 to do some kind of, as you brought up, resolution trust of debt and all these other things. But alas, we live with TARP and the aftermath of TARP. So these protesters are, some of them are young people who are just, you know, upset, as you say, missing a class in school. But I think that we're going to see more of these kind of protests. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's protesters constantly about various issues, whether it's the current wars, it's the spending on the wars, it's how the economic system runs. But with all that being said, Wall Street itself is not evil. Wall Street is a mechanism. Now, you can be upset at a company that might do things wrong, and if you want to get in there and change things in a company, become a shareholder. That's a great way. They call them shareholder activists. But at the end of the day, I saw a protest back in May. It's actually quite funny. The New York police are actually on horses because Wall Street's a very narrow street. And the same thing, they rounded up people and took them away. So I think we're going to have more of these things popping up through the year.
All right. My guest is Ken Winans. Ken, a question that I ask you every time you come on the show, it's a recurring question. Which will come first, Dow 9,000 or unemployment 9%?
Oh, I think Dow 9,000.
You are really bearish today. All right. Well,
it's a bear market. But hey, remember, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about it. If people, it's not to say you can't make money. You just have to look at things like preferred stocks and corporate bonds that pay you a good rate of return to be an owner of those things. But no, I think that the fact that we're below the 200-day moving average the way we are, the fact, and by the way, a lot of it's going to be earnings. Earnings are the key for October. Bear markets don't go straight down. But yeah, I think that that's a very good possibility that we'll see things head south.
Ouch. You heard it here first. Ken Winans thinks it'll be Dow 9,000 before it's unemployment 9%. Ken, if people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe they want to learn about the Winans Long Short Fund, which ticker symbol is ETFMX, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Best place to go is, if they want everything, the books and the companies and all that, go to kenwinans.com. That's Winans. And also, if you go on Forbes.com, you can find my column that I post quarterly on Forbes websites, and you can certainly read what I had to say recently. And then as far as the Winans Long Short Fund, enter ETFMX, which, by the way, I was happy to say, with a beta of 0.27.
Wow.
It was actually 350 basis points ahead of the S&P 500 depository receipt. So as a hedge, it worked very well. I was happy with that.
Well, congratulations for that in the third quarter of this year. My guest has been Ken Winans. Ken, as always, it's a spirited discussion. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, Bill. Take care.
Take care.